Got a question. Did anyone find their Egyptian this morning or this week? The way I know that, that was one of this week's devotions, if you remember. So we're going to continue on with our overview, and we're going to look at God's confirmation to Moses. Mr. Charles, can you make sure everybody has a lesson 4 handout and an index card? They're back at the back by the sound booth. When you stop and you think, what's God's direction for your life? What does God want you to do? When you stop and you think, do you think Moses really had any indication of the magnitude of what he was getting ready to do when he began? He didn't sign up for it. There weren't a job description going, hey, you know, you want to be the one to go talk with Pharaoh and lead, does sign here, here's the salary, here's the benefits. But, you know, there's a promise that God gives us. But so many times we don't pay attention. When you're looking at Father's Day being today, what's our purpose as fathers? Naturally, when I started out, when I was born, I had no idea I would be a father, nor did I figure that I would be where I'm at now. Now, had anyone else planned their lives out? Hey, I'm going to be born here. I'm going to meet this person. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have this job. This is where my house is going to be. This is how many kids I'm going to raise. Did anyone do that? No. I still remember way back in school, there was a girl that I had a really big crush on. We went to church together. I knew her family. And I'll never forget, I was like, you know, why can I ask this girl out? I mean, she's very cute. She's very personal. I mean, I was in class with her sister. Why can't I talk to her? And it just never, I never could ask her. And I don't know how many times I wrestle with, hey, I want to talk with her. I want God's plan. And ended up that I was friends, and I ended up marrying and dating one of her friends. But that's God's purpose. We don't understand a whole lot of situations. When we look back at our lives, all we can look at is bad things. We can see the trials we went through. But why are we going through those trials? Have we really stopped and we figured out why we have those trials in our lives? A lot of times we don't. We want to have a pity party. So we're going to go over that. If you open up your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, and this is God's confirmation to Moses. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and the officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick. As heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves. When you stop and you think, the bricks they were making, what were they? Have y'all done any research? I know I've heard several speakers talk about it, but it's a cob. And now that's the latest craze, is to build a house out of cob. You take dirt, clay, and you mix it with straw, add some water, and then you sunbake them. They go into a mold until they're dry. Basically, it's dry mud. And then you stack it together. When you stop and you think, this is very painstaking. I mean, Wade, he planted what? Wheat yesterday. Today's harvesting, and he's got millions of dollars all in like 2 days, right? No, it's a task, isn't it? To raise the crop, to get the straw, to grow it. Now you've got to be able, someone's got to be digging the dirt. Well, this is where Pharaoh was. When you stop and you think, there were some met expectations. Let's look in our lives as we go through it. How many of us have had good and have had no issues? When you start out younger, when you were younger, life starts out easy, doesn't it? There's a lot of our families that, hey, we have had no struggles. It's been a perfect, and then all of a sudden something derails us. What derailed us? Why? And it gets a little shaky. Yesterday I got a chance to spend time with my younger sister. She was my foster sister. And it was real funny growing up. How would you feel if you were raised in a family and you were sent to school wearing your mama's pajamas? And you hadn't bathed. You hadn't been fed. When you stop and you think, that seems kind of harsh. I can tell by look on your face, you know that, hey, that would be a slap in the face. Why would God let a child go through that? Because he had already planned my family to go to Kennedy Home, which is a Baptist home, for children, and we were their foster parents. At that point, they come to live with us. And we started going through old stories of growing up, some of the mischievous stuff we got into. But it was good times. We cared for each other. The one thing she said, I don't care how bad it got, how much we fought at home, if someone crossed one of us or hurt, the fight was coming, and the whole clan was going to show up to it. Amen. No matter what, we were a family. And Moses, he forgot this. He forgot how good he did have it. He just thought, hey, I'm going to go tell Pharaoh, and he's going to let us go. Is it going to be that easy in life? Did you really believe when you went to go tell someone, hey, this is God's will in your life, this is why this is happening, huh? Did you expect them to be nice about it? Did you lose the focus? When you stop and you think, the first line is confrontation with Pharaoh. The confrontation with Pharaoh. Who was Pharaoh? Who do you think, Miss Jesse? I saw you mumble it. Egypt. Now, how did he get that kingdom? How did Pharaoh get to be king? God set him up. Did he have to work for that? Most kings, going through ranks, born. So basically, Pharaoh walked in and his predecessor goes, hey, here's the Hebrew slaves. Basically. So I got a question. Do you think Pharaoh was getting ready to give up free slaves? No. But yet we look at Pharaoh as being the bad guy, right? Okay, I got a question. Stop in your life and think of anything someone has given you. How would you feel now? This week, Christian got a piece of furniture for moving to Greenville as new job. It was given to him. Now stop and think, how do you think he's going to feel if he put that in an apartment, he went to school to teach and come back and someone had broken into that house and took that piece of furniture? How do you think he would feel? Upset. Why? He didn't work for it. So the same thing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh's seeing these Hebrews are mine. He didn't understand there was a plan that God had put in motion. So when you stop and you think, there's a cause. When you stop and you think now, if I said, look, there's an endangered red-headed woodpecker, how many people would right now make poster signs and billboards and go and protest that these poor woodpeckers, when we were clearing out lumber for homes and making paper and we're destroying their habitat? How many people would become upset on that, go up, march and protest and carry big billboard signs? Too many. They're ready for a fight. They will go and protest, hey, by spraying your deodorant, you're killing the ozone. No offense, some people need extra ozone protection, I'm just saying. But when you stop and you think, they will devote their lives and walk around in stench and stink and all because of the ozone. They do. Cow manure. Yeah, good stuff. But when you stop and you think, they want to fight. There's a cause. Well, I got a question. When you read this book, what happens at the end of it? If you're born again, we win. But I got a question. Those who were given everything, do you think they've read this? But they come real quick, and we're going to talk about that later. They want to push that to the side. But when you stop and you think, no one's willing to stand up for God. All of us in here have suffered something. We've been persecuted, not for our Christian values, but other things. But we're willing to do that for the redhead woodpecker. We're willing to do it over cow manure odor. We're willing to do it to save the ozone. But the great Creator who made it all, who could fix it, we're not willing to do anything. When you stop and you think of all the protesting that's going on in Washington, D.C., how many Christians would stand up and do that same thing? How many? We want our country. We want our kids to have a good future. But you're not willing to sacrifice for them? As a Christian, what would happen if we all band together and go, guess what? This country was bound and formed under God. We're going to worship our God, not new gods coming in. If you don't like it, there's the borders. Have fun. Join hand in hand and push them out. Guess what? Do you think some things would change? Do you think Miss Patty would be wanting a godly neighbor to get by her daughter? Because no, it would already be there. But we're willing to stand for other things, but we won't stand for God. So when you stop and you think, do we understand God's promise? when you got saved, how did you get saved? You had to realize you were what? A sinner. I've never seen someone standing straight up going, you know what, Pastor? You're right, I'm a sinner. Hey, I want to get saved. Have anyone seen anyone get saved that way? Most of the time, something has to hit them and drop them knees. Something bad has to wake them up. Guess what? When I was an alcoholic, do you think I realized I'm staying at a bar drinking? Do you think I realized, hey, I'm an alcoholic. I don't need to do this. Do you think I'm going to understand there? Do you think when I'm waking up in the hospital with my head in traction, all the sandbags around it, I've got IVs coming out of my arms and nurses are working on me, and my eyes are having to be pried open, my mouth, I can feel the intubation tube going down. That's when I understand, hey, wake up. These two aren't good together. But we get upset when we go through a trial. There was a purpose with God's plan. That's your next one, a purpose. Why did Moses go to Pharaoh? There was a... Yes. The first is confrontation with Pharaoh, and then the next is purpose. Why did Moses go and speak with Pharaoh? Okay. Why did God tell Moses to go talk with Pharaoh? They needed to get out of the land. There was a... Right. So when you stop and you think, it was something direct. Who did Moses tell Pharaoh sinning? Jehovah, God. God of the Hebrews. If when Miss Patty was over at KFC, if something come down from corporate, most time you got email, a letter, a phone call, and they go, hey, this is so-and-so from corporate. This is what we need to change. Or a letter, a change of events. Did they go, hey, I'm so-and-so the floor sweeper. You need to change this? No. There's a chain of command. And we know if right now, if Mr. Colvin went home and go, guess what, hon, we've got to pack up and leave. She's going to go, why? God told me. At that point, Ms. Colvin's already packing the bags. Hey, kids, just get in the vehicle. I got everything. Jesse, so if God speaks with you, you may have to be Moses. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. You know, but he was telling him who's sinning. Because back then in old times, or years earlier, you wanted to let them know whose authority you were carrying. A lot of times if the king wanted a letter go out in English days, what would they do? They would take wax, put on it, gob on it, and they would take the ring and seal it. So Moses is not going in, hey, Pharaoh, you need to let the people go because I think so. When you stop and you think, he was telling him. The next one is parameters. Parameters. When you stop and you think in Exodus 5 verse 3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Did God say, let them go free? Or did he say, hey, I just want my people to worship me? Which did he say? But Pharaoh in his mindset is, hey, they're not building my bricks. They're not helping me. When you stop and you look in your lives, how often do we go, hey, God, you're pushing me this way, but I want to go this way. I want to do what I want, and I want you to bend with me. But there's some frictions there. It's just like as when all of us who have children, our kids would love every morning to wake up and eat cake, cookies, ice cream. Do they want to eat healthy? No. They want their way. But why can't we put that food out for them? Is there any nutritional value? No. So as parents, we have to guide them and bring them back. And the same thing here, there had to be parameters set. When you stop and you think, why did God want the Hebrews out of Egypt? Take them to a promised land? Okay. Let's boil it down even further. God question, is this land here any different than God's land anywhere else? Whose land is it? It's God's. So technically all land's promised. And just work with me. I understand what you're saying. Why was it important to get the Hebrews out of Egypt? What does the Bible say? If you're suffering for God, what does that do for you? And I'm going to state, but if you're suffering for God, there's a reward, isn't it? But were they losing focus on God? Or were they starting to fall in with idolatry? So that's the biggest reason God wanted his people out. Stop and think. When I was going to those bars doing bad things, do you think I was around a godly influence? No. I was around people I considered my friends. And at that point, you know, the peer pressure, oh, that's cool. You think you could do that? I can do one better than you. But when you stop and you think, get away from those worldly influences. When you stop and you think, how are gangs formed? When you look at the world we're in now, do you think a kid sets out, hey, I want to be a member of that gang? Do you think they do that? Let me educate y'all, on how these organizations get their affiliates. They've learned. First thing they do, they have a pecking order. They have a recruiter who will come in. No tattoos. They're the perfect kid. One everybody wants their child to be like from the outside. And they start being an influence. And slowly, hey, you need to listen to your mom and dad. You need to respect them more. You need to do this better. You need to study. Well, as a parent, what do we say? That's a good influence. We want them there. That's okay. You're with so-and-so, that's fine. But when they leave the house, it's a little different story. Do you think I started smoking and drinking from my mother? No. I would be finding my teeth somewhere else other than in my mouth. She would not stand for it. So guess what my friends would do? In front of my mom, oh, yeah, that is very bad. We told you not to do that. He went on his own, Miss Bateman. I'm like, what? You handed me a bottle. But as soon as we left, they're like, look, you got to understand, around your mom. I mean, we weren't even out of eyesight of the house before the first six-pack was being opened. But to my mom, that was the perfect person for me to be with. And she said it was okay. That's how these organizations work. Now, once they've got them sucked in, they give them as parents, we know we can't give them. If you gave your kids everything, They come to you, hey, I need a new iPad. Can you just go out, oh, that's fine, and hand it to them? No. You want them to earn some responsibilities. You want them to respect hard work. So you just can't hand them free money to go buy whatever every time they want something. And then plus, we have bills at home. But these groups know I can give it to them and they'll like me more than you. And if you don't believe it, I'll go in the back right now. We'll pull a kid out and the whole way coming back, I'm going to give them candy, give them candy, give them candy. By the time they get in here, I want to see you get them to do what you want them to do. Who are they going to listen to? Me. Why? I gave them what they wanted. The same thing with Moses and all here. That's why God wanted his children out of Egypt. The influences. He knew that the Egyptians, if they could sway the Hebrews, they have no more enemy. And they win. When you stop and you think, we understand as Christians, what is our body? Our body is a temple for God. He owns this. We forget that until we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, and it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. So when you're going through pain and affliction, who are they hurting? Are they hurting you? Or are they hurting God? We forget that, though. Why did God want 3 days' journey? Why is that important? Why do y'all think 3 days?
Not the three, but they needed to get far enough away.
Oh, very much so.
We're not too close to the Egyptians.
Very good. Because stop and think. If I'm trying to witness to somebody, do you think I need to be in earshot of a bar? Why not? What are they going to hear? A good time, they're hanging out, having fun, right? What happens if I carry them to a cancer center and I'm talking to you about not using tobacco or something? I'm going to get my point across real quick there, aren't I? If I go to a cemetery, I'm going to real quick get my point across about drunk driving and doing wrong things. If I go to a rehab house, I'm going to really get my point across about drug use and substance abuse. God wanted them 3 days away from outside influences. How long would it take? How far could you go walking in 3 days? I may can make it to a door. I'm just saying. I'm a little out of shape now. But when you stop and you think, God wanted his children far away from any other influences. What was the importance of them going? The 3 days. Where were they? What were they supposed to do? Worship. What kind of worship? Let's go 3 days' journey so we can walk. What did he say? We'll back up. The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into a desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Why did he want that sacrifice? Okay.
Sacrifice the animals, pay with blood.
Okay. Stop and think. The blood. When you stop and you think, what did he say when Jesus Christ come down? What did John the Baptist say? When you st- Why? So it's important for them to understand, to go in the blood, the sacrifice they're getting ready to make, to carry. The next, do you think if you had to walk 3 days' journey, do you think it's going to be smooth sailing the whole way? No. So who's going to have to look out for you? God. Do you think you're going to be making bricks and being beat during that time? So is that not a blessing? So he wants his children to focus on the blessings. In Psalms 107, verse 22, it says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoice. What do you think was next? When you make a sacrifice, why are you giving to God? Do you think these slaves had anything? What do y'all think? They had their lives and what they had to survive. Food, which back then would have been what? The goats, the chickens, stuff like that. Well, how would it make you feel? Hey, we're going to carry our possessions and we're going to make a sacrifice. Because what are you going to sacrifice? Those animals. They didn't have nothing else. So you're going to give it to God. But why? God gave it to you. So technically, who is it? Whose furniture was that Christian had? It belongs to God. We're giving it back to Him. What does God promise us He'll do? He'll give it back. He's going to take care of us. But what does He want us to do? To lean on Him. We're 3 days' journey. There's nothing else. We've given everything we got. We're not being beat, but we're thankful that we have a loving, caring God. That's kind of hard when for us to realize in the situation we're in right now, because we'll go have our own pity party. Oh, this happened to me. Why? When you stop and you look, whose body is this? It belongs to God in the first place, so if He wants to take part of it back, what can I say? But I want to have a pity party. Hey, that was mine. I want it back. No. You can't have it that way. And that's why we miss the focus. We're too busy. Like Pharaoh, we don't know who God is. The next one is condition of the world. In Exodus 5:2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? Has a lot of this world heard about God? So why are you shocked that they don't know why you come to church? They don't know why you get happy when you get a good report. They don't know why when you see someone falling, hey, so what? They're having an extramarital affair. They're having fun. It's their bodies. And we're going, no, no. And we're crying. We're pleading with them. The world's going, oh, that's fine. It's their choice. But we know what's getting ready to happen. We know the heartaches. We know that we call sin out. And you have to. We understand that's a life gone. And it's hard to get it back. Disbelief, that's your next one. Because guess what? If you know who God is, why should we be afraid of God? He's all powerful. It's His.
Life is His to give
So guess what? If Miss Patty was above me, why would I go and stomp on her toes? And what's going to happen if you're my boss and I just did that? There's going to be consequences, right? So why are we upset at the world? If you didn't go tell them who God was and you don't show them who God is, why am I going to believe you? Why? If you're not out spreading the gospel, why should I change? Why should I fear your God? Now, I got a question. This was really ironic to me. What did God tell Moses to do if the people didn't believe him? See his hand. What did he tell him to do? Throw the rod. And if they don't believe you again, well, pick it up. What did he also tell them to do? If they don't believe you, there was something else. Oh, the leprosy. And if they don't believe them, what were they to do? Okay, how about the water? I got a question. Let's go back. What did Moses do with Pharaoh? Did he do that? To Pharaoh? When he went to Pharaoh, in chapter 5, in the beginning, did he do that? Or did he him and Aaron just go, let us go on the journey? Which did he do? I got a question. And my point is, in the beginning, how comfortable would you feel right now going to Washington, D.C. and going to a president? You're wrong. God said do this. And I got a question.
That would be guaranteed. I'll just cut your head off right here and now. End of problem for me, for what you're saying. But he has to deliver it in bits and pieces, and it's got to build.
What did God say in chapter 4? That Pharaoh what? Would not let him go. Did he not say that?
He said that.
Until what happened? Okay, but what would God end up, even said, if he won't, what would happen? Pestilence and what else? Didn't he even say? His firstborn. So guess what? In chapter 4, God's done said, look, Moses, he's not going to let him go. I'm going to have stretched forth my hand. I'm going to have to show my power and my might. I'm going to have to do that. And I'm going to use you as my tool. You're going to deliver this message. So God's already forewarned Moses, hey, it's not going to be smooth sailing. This is what we're going to do. God gave Moses the marching order. So there was disbelief, but also who else was at disbelief? I feel that it fell back also part on Moses. God knew how the message was going to go. And that was just something when I was doing my studies that I saw. Because back then, how many gods did Pharaoh have to worship? Well, like 2,000. When you stop, they had a god that had a frog face. You know, how could you be serious with a frog? Ribbit. Yeah, I want that god. How about, you know, one that was a sacred bull? I could get that. You know, the mastiff, the size, the strength. I could understand. Then there was the hawk face god. Then there was Iris, the queen of the heavens. I mean, really? How did they keep up with all these gods? Same thing going on in America right now. How are we keeping up with all the gods we've got? The god of the automobile, the god of the television set, the god of electricity. We make excuses for them. Hey, it makes life convenient. Well, I got a question. When you were growing up, I pick on you, Miss Bilger. When you were younger growing up, did you have any of those nice things? Electricity and all?
Oh, we had electricity.
I was just seeing if you would buy. Oh, but you had an outhouse, right? How did you survive? You did, didn't you? You survived real quick. I got a question. If we still had the outhouse, would you right now having to go before Congress with a vote on who can go in what outhouse? Would there be any question? Would there be any question? No, nobody would want to hang out in there. But we forgot years ago when we made that convenience that we may down the road have to deal with that sin. We compromise. Hey, I'll give up having the porcelain goddess, you know, so I don't have to go to that outhouse. We forget how our sins get us trapped in. And the next one is disregard. That's your next blank, disregard. It's a flip-flop. We can't see the forest for the trees. Why do you think women travail in birth? We understand why when sin come in. But how could you deal with that pain? I remember when Stacy had Allison, was a lot different than Christian. I remember her being cut open. And I could see in her. How painful was that healing? But I got a question. Even when you go through natural childbirth, you see the pictures of the mother screaming in pain and anguish, hurting, saying some things that some women, you know, what in the world? But what happens as soon as they set that baby on her? It's gone. It fixes a whole lot then, doesn't it? But why do we question God? We're selfish. We forgot where He brought us from, right?
We forget
the next blank is confirmation. What did you say, Miss Patty? We forget the needs and wants. We forget the difference, don't we? What did God tell Moses in chapter 4? It's not going to be easy. Pharaoh's not going to let you go. I'm going to have to show him. Did God say anywhere in there, hey, you got to worry about your life? No. Why didn't God? Why didn't He tell him, you'll be okay. I'm going to help you, Moses. I'm going to get you through this rough time. God didn't need to. It was Moses' way of knowing God's going to take care of him. Questions. That's your next blank, questions. Why do you think Moses come with questions? He was scared. He was unsure, right? He doubted. Again, he hadn't been at the top of that sign-on sheet. He weren't fully aware. Why wasn't he aware? You can't see where this country's heading. So is it going to be a shock when another country comes storming in? Is it going to be a shock to you? Is it going to be a shock to your family and your friends when you see your children suffering and you never told them? Should be a shock. But yet when it happens, we're going, oh no. Please help my child. Sometimes you got to put on your big boy clothes and give a start. Your next blank is assurance. In Exodus chapter 6, it starts off, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. With a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. You got an index card that Brother Charles handed out. Isaiah 42 verse 8, it says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praises to graven images. That's a verse. Take this index card and you write a verse and you keep it with you. Study it all day long, knowing who God is, the most powerful. He loves you. He cares for you. He's going to see you through troubled times. He's going to give us assurance on how much He loves us. He's not going to forsake us. But if you write it down, you have it with you, we can have it to aid us when we're in times of trials. When you're going through struggles, what do you need to do? You need something to see to reassure you, right? So let's write a verse down and carry it with you this week. We're out of time, so I'm going to close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for this time just to come into your house. Just please be with the pastor as he delivers the message. Just please put a hedge of protection around this sanctuary that Satan may not enter in, tempt, or toss. In Jesus' name, amen.